Father, we thank you on today. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for watching over and keeping us. We thank you, O Lord, our God, for just keeping our hearts and our minds and protecting us and leading and guiding and directing us in all things. Now, Lord God, we have set aside this time to come together to study your word. So we ask that you would be in the midst, dear Lord. We're asking that you will open our hearts and our minds so we may be receptive to all that you have to offer us, God. By your Spirit, Lord God, we pray that you would touch us, that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds and nudge our consciousness, Lord God, and cause us to see, God, where we can, Father God, partake of all that you offer so that we can improve and grow and mature and become the people that you say that we are. We know we can, God. By the aid of your Spirit, we know we can. So bless us now, we pray, and help us to be a blessing. Help us to be lights. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be a voice that would share the good news of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you again. And again, we invite you into our Bible study that you may come in and bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We thank God again for you joining us here for the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship Hour, where we spend time talking about the Lord, studying about the Lord, and gaining more and more knowledge of Him. Praise God. And so we thanking God, whether you're listening to us now or at a later date, we pray that something be said may be a blessing to you. We're in our final portion of our series lesson on So Stand Firm in the Lord. We're coming from our foundational text narrative of Philippians 4, 1 through 9. And we discussed in previous lessons that this particular narrative was written to the church at Philippi. And the writer was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was writing to the church to encourage, to instruct, and even to rebuke some of the members. But he also did this. He also shares with them his love and joy in knowing them, as well as his desire to see them at a later date. So what we are doing now is peeking into the letter written to the Philippian church, and we know it now as one of the books in the Bible, in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this letter again to the church to let them know that there were some things he wanted them to do. He says, and likewise do. Amen. And so what were some of those things? Well, we talked about, he said, be united. He said, be joyful. He said, be exemplary, or be an example. He said, be prayerful. And lastly, he pointed out to the church, check your thinking. And that's where we are today in our final section, study of Philippians 4, 1 through 9. We're going to check our thinking today. Amen. And so get a pen, get a paper, jot down the answers, because I believe in interactive studying, interactive teaching. And so we're going to have a chance for you to talk a little later, but right now get your pen and paper out and jot down the answers. Fill in the spaces that you may find on your paper. So again, our final section is check your thinking. Amen. And so let me read in your hearing again, Philippians 4, 1 through 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version, but whatever version you may have, join along, read with us. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Odiah, and I implore Synergy, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is instructing them there in that final verse, verse 9, what you saw in me, what you've heard in me, what you've learned of me and received, those are the things I want you to do. I don't want you, I think in one particular passage of scripture, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. So he's encouraging us to learn what it is we need to know so that we can be the people of God in a way that we can impact, my God, those around us. Amen. So again, check your thinking. We're going to be in verses 8 and 9 on today. So let's look at that right now. So Paul says, Paul ends this section of the letter by finally saying, do this. What? Think on these things. That's right. Insert in your answer key this. Think on these things. He ends the section of the letter by saying to the people, think on these things. Think on these things that I have given for your benefit, for your growth. Number two, he also lists several attributes that we need to hold firmly to in our own thought processes, our own thinking. And so what are they? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Come on here. Whatever it is, true or honorable. Whatever is true or honorable. You can put either one in your answer key. Whatever is true or honorable. Whatever, letter B. Whatever is noble or worthy of respect. Let me repeat that for line B. Whatever is noble or of worthy of respect. Line C. Whatever is just or right. Whatever is just or right. Paul is saying these are the things I want you to think on. Not have your mind all over the place. But sometimes you need to corral that mind and bring it under subjection and submission and bring it under a right thinking. And so I want you to think on these things. So line C, whatever is just or right. Line D, whatever is pure or wholesome. That's it. Whatever is pure or wholesome. Line E, whatever is lovely or peaceful. Whatever is lovely or peaceful. You can even insert in there whatever is beautiful. Have beautiful thoughts. Amen. Praise God. Whatever is lovely or peaceful or even beautiful. Think on these things. Line F. Whatever is of good report. Or another word would be admirable. Whatever is admirable or whatever is commendable. Think on these things. Whatever is of good report. Whatever is admirable. Whatever is commendable. Think on these things. Line G. Whatever is of any virtue or of excellence. Come on here. That's wonderful. Whatever is of any virtue or of excellence or morally uplifting or respectful. I'm going to repeat that whole line there for you. Line G. Whatever is of any virtue or of excellence or morally uplifting or respectful. You can insert either one of those into that line. The writer is instructing us to have thoughts of virtue, of excellence, morally uplifting and respectful. Amen. And the last one, line H, whatever is of anything praiseworthy. Or, again, admiration or praise. Think on these things. Anything praiseworthy. Anything that will cause you to have admiration or praise. Think on these things. All right. So, the writer, the Apostle Paul, is instructing the church here to check their thinking. And he's not just leaving them up to their own devices. He's actually giving them a template to use. Amen. He's saying, if you can't control your thinking, well, put in place, remove the negative and put in place some positive, uplifting thinking. What? Well, let me go down the list once more for you. He says, whatever is true or honorable. He says, whatever is noble or worthy of respect. He says, whatever is just or right. Whatever is pure or wholesome. Whatever is lovely or peaceful, even beautiful. Whatever is of good report or admirable or commendable. Whatever is anything of virtue or excellence or morally uplifting or respectful again. Think on these things. And lastly, if there's anything praiseworthy, anything of admiration, anything of praise, think on these things. And not only that, line three, or insert in line three here, he says not only to think on these things, but to meditate on them. And we know what meditate means. It means to constantly bring that thought before you and constantly think about what that thought is saying or it means to you as the individual. Meditate. Some would say chew the fat. Mm-hmm. Some would say get in there and stay there until you get a greater understanding of what it is that verse is saying to you. So he instructs us not only to think on these things, but to meditate on them as well. Amen. Praise God. Let's move on. Number four, he instructs us to center our minds, that's right, insert minds, center our minds on them, and then allow the Holy Spirit to implant them in our hearts. So line four, you should have minds and hearts. Let me repeat the statement. Paul says to center our minds on them, on these thoughts, and then allow the Holy Spirit to implant them in our hearts. Oh my goodness, wonderful, wonderful. So not only is these positive thoughts in our minds, but they're engrafted as well in our hearts. So the two are working in connection with one another. Amen. So your mind ain't saying one thing and your heart saying another. Come on here. And your heart is saying one thing and your mind is saying something else. No, Paul says they should be working together in tangent. Glory to God. Amen. So center them on your mind and allow the Holy Spirit to place them deep down in your heart. And you know, because you remember, we said it so often, the Word of God tells us to guard our hearts. Why? Because out of that heart flows the issues of life. So now, if your heart got all kind of corrupt things in there and things that is going to be negative, then that's what's going to come out. So that's why the writer here is telling you, put these things in your heart, not only in your mind. Don't just think about them, but feel them, also experience them. Glory to God. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So let's move on to number five. Number five says, replacing our bad or inappropriate thoughts will continually allow us to be what? Renewed in our minds. Let me repeat that. Replacing our bad or inappropriate thoughts will continually allow us to be renewed in our minds, and gives us a better outlook and focus on our lives. Amen. So replacing those bad thoughts or those thoughts that shouldn't be there, we shouldn't allow there. Sometimes they creep in, but we don't have to let them stay there. They don't have to have a do not disturb sign on their door. No, open that door and say, get out. Go back where you came from. and release that thought into the atmosphere and replace it with something that is true, honorable, noble, respectful, just, right, pure, wholesome, lovely, beautiful, peaceful, of good report, of excellence, of virtue, of praiseworthy. Come on here, somebody, praise God. I know we say sometimes that might be for somebody else. No, that could be for all of us. It may take time, yes, because this walk is a process. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And sometimes you got to remind yourself daily. That's what Paul said also. I die daily. Amen. This self, this person that we are, it's not going to give up easily. And so we got to work real hard at becoming who Jesus said that we are. And one of the ways is beginning by saturating that mind with the things that's going to help turn your habits. And we're going to say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Amen. But let's move on. So we want to get a better outlook and focus on our lives. And so this is some of the ways by getting our minds renewed. Amen. And we see that in Ephesians 4:23. Amen. Ephesians 4:23 tells us to have a renewed mind. Well, what's a renewed mind look like? A renewed mind looks like this. It's a new attitude. That's right. The way you used to think, those thoughts that you used to have, you no longer have because your mind is renewed. Not only is your mind renewed, that renewed mind gives you new thoughts. Amen, somebody? That's right. So in Ephesians 4:23, we want to have a renewed mind. We want to have a new attitude. We want to have new thoughts. Amen. Glory to God. We want to, as the word says, we want to let go of those things that are old. Amen. Praise God. And we want to bring on the new. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 7, Philippians 2:5. What does Philippians 2:5 say? Philippians 2:5 tells us that we need to have the same mindset of Christ. That's it. We need to have the same mindset of Christ. What was the mindset of Christ? Well, for instance, Christ had a mindset of humility. He was humble, meek, and lowly. He didn't come puffed up, parading around who he was. Amen. No, he came humbly. He came with humility. He came knowing that he had to fulfill the will of God. And he wasn't doing it outside of God's direction, outside of God's okay. And so he came with a heart of humility, a mindset of humility. He came with a heart and mind of love. Amen. He came with a mindset of reconciliation, going out and looking for those that needed to be reconciled to God the Father, that needed to be restored and renewed themselves. Amen. So the writer in Philippians 2, the one that wrote this section that we're even talking about today, he says, have the same mindset of Christ. Amen. And so if you want to have that mindset, you got to know the mindset of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And so you need to understand what was his mindset. And one of the two of the things I brought out to you today was that he had a mindset of humility and one of love. Is that one that can be reflected in your mindset as well? Come on here. We all striving to get there. Glory to God. Amen. Let's move on. Number 8. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the world. I know we're in the world and we are saturated with the things of the world. We can't turn on our TV unless we see what they want us to do, say, act, wear, drink, eat. Ha, my God. But the word says, don't copy the world in your behavior and in your customs. No, we are to be what? Transformed. Listen, if you're sitting next to anybody, look at that person and say, be transformed. Amen. That's what Romans 12:2 is telling us today. Be transformed. Where does it start? In the renewing of your mind. Come on here, somebody. They're all connected. Yes, it is. That's what the word does. It supports itself. Hallelujah. It supports its thought throughout. Amen. So the word is saying, be transformed. Don't be like the world. Don't copy the world. No, you have come out of the world. Amen. So in your behavior and your custom, it ought to reflect someone that's connected to the kingdom. Don't you all know we are connected to the kingdom? Yes, we are. We are all kingdom individuals that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And so with being a part of the kingdom, there is characters and characterizations and behaviors that we are to emulate being a part of the kingdom. Glory to God. Not part of the world. We've come out of that. I know we're in the world, but the Bible says, though we're in the world, we're not of or part of the world. So here in Romans 12, it says, don't copy the world in its behavior and its customs. No, be transformed. Put on the individual that reflects, glory to God, these thinking, hallelujah, that we just talked about. Praise God. Let's move on. Number 9 says, that's found in Psalms 119 and 15. It says, glory to God, reflect on the ways of God. That's also, again, connecting to what we just said. Reflect on the ways of God. Amen. Deaconess Fran Thompson says this a lot, and it's something that was very prominent in earlier days. But the saying was, what would Jesus do? Amen. And so that's pretty much what this verse is saying, Psalms 119 and 15. Reflect on the ways of God. What would Jesus do in that situation? How would he handle it? Amen. And so when we think like that, then we can get a greater understanding of how our thoughts are to line up, or how our behavior are to line up with our thoughts. Amen. And again, if we go back to Philippians 2 and 5, we begin to take on the mindset of Christ, glory to God, and then allow the Holy Spirit to implant that in our hearts, the two should be working together, thusly producing behavior that's in line with the ways of God. Did I say something, y'all? Come on here, somebody. Praise God today for us learning how to be who God says that we are. Finally, in that section, number 10, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know that. We can repeat that. That was one of our memory verses over the last several years. And it says to us to have a new life. That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says to put on the new person. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to read that one because that verse sums up everything that we are to be about. Amen. In our trying to do what the apostle is saying to us, the apostle Paul is saying to us here in Philippians 4:1-9. And we know 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you like to go there and join with us in reading along, do so. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You can read whatever version you may have. But I just want to read this verse in your hearing because this kind of sums up what we're talking about today. And here it is. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's that transform, y'all. That's why I said to you to say to somebody sitting next to you. And if there's nobody sitting next to you, go ahead and speak it out in the atmosphere. Be transformed. Amen. That's that transformation that we're talking about. And with that transformation becomes that renewed mind, that new attitude, with it new thoughts, and with it a mindset of Christ, with it not copying the behaviors and customs of the world, but going after the ways of God, seeking to emulate the ways of God, seeking to be more like Jesus, as our pastor Bishop Luther taught on several weeks ago, what it is for us to become more like Jesus. What do we need to do? How do we need to go about being more like Jesus? That's our goal, y'all. Yes, as kingdom dwellers, as kingdom people, our goal is to be more like Jesus. Amen. To have his mindset. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, put on the new life. Put on the new person. The new is here. Glory to God. And the old is gone. And again, I'm very sensitive to everyone thinking that's really hard, that's something that's not easy to do. And I'm the first to say you're right. That's why we have to submit to, glory to God, the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to submit to this Holy Spirit guiding us and teaching us and bringing us. That's why the word is important, amen, to meditate on it. That's why the word is important to understand where we need to go and how we need to go. I would agree with you, it's not an easy journey. It's a process, though. And sometimes we don't want the process to play out, but we got to let the process play out in our lives and let the Holy Spirit keep working on us. Look at your neighbor. Look at those that are in the room by themselves. Touch your own self and say, keep working on me, Holy Spirit. That's right. I am an individual that is under construction. I have not reached perfection yet. I am striving to be all that God says I am. So don't get discouraged when you fall down. Don't get discouraged when you make a mistake. Pick yourself up and say, Lord, help me to do better. Amen. Praise God. Because remember, we just got to check our thinking. Because why? Because our thinking is important. That's right. Let me tell you why our thinking is important, and what we put in our brains and what we allow to be in our brains. Why I believe our thinking is important is this. Listen, because you have to watch your thoughts, for they become your words. You have to watch your words, for they become your actions. You have to watch your actions, for they become your habits. You have to watch your habits, for they become your character. And you have to watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Come on, here's somebody. That's why it begins with your thinking. That's why the Bible says, let that mind be renewed, because it starts right there in the mind. When you can get that mind together, everything else is going to flow. That's right. When you can get that heart and mind connected, oh my goodness, you're on the right road. That's right. So watch your thoughts, because they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, because they can become your character. And watch your character. That's who you are. That's who the people see. That's what the world see, your character. And it is, and it can become your destiny. Amen. So check your thinking. That's right. Touch your head right now. Put your hand to your head and say, Lord, help me to check my thinking. That's right. We all need to take assessment of ourselves every now and then and check what we're thinking, because it comes out. That's right. You don't think it does, but it spills out. Just get yourselves in a tight situation. What comes out of, glory to God, what comes out of or flows out of your mouth, because it's connected to your thoughts. Oh, my goodness. I said something there. But praise God, we are asking the Lord to continue to work on us. So what did Paul say in that section? He just said, these things I'm teaching you today, I want you to meditate on them, think hard on them, hold them fast to your brain, hold them fast to your thinking. And replace those negative thoughts with some positive thinking. And check your thinking. Amen. We're thanking God for the word of God today. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed this series, this teaching by the Apostle Paul found here in Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. And again, he told us, be united. Yes, saints. Be joyful. Be exemplary. Be prayerful and check your thinking. Paul is reminding us in this letter that we can be all that God has called us to be in Christ Jesus when we put forth due diligence and obedience. So see, that's our part. We just got to put forth an effort, a true, real, sincere effort, and be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is reminding us to put off the old man and the old way of thinking and be renewed in our hearts and our minds and walk in the new creation that we are. Praise God. Ah, glory to God. Let's all take note of this. It takes work, but we can do it with the Holy Spirit's guidance and leading. Yes. And as Colossians 3:10 says, I'm going to end with this. It says, and have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. Let me repeat that for you, because that's our verse that we're going to end our series on today. Hallelujah. Our series on So Stand Firm in the Lord. Paul gave instructions how to stand firm in the Lord. He says, be united, be joyful, be exemplary, be prayerful, and check your thinking. And Colossians 3:10 supports all of that with these words, and have put on the new spiritual self. Yes, you have put on the new spiritual self. Get this, who is being continually, underline that in your Bible, because that is saying that is not something that happens and is over. That is something that is ongoing, process, ongoing, continually progressive, being continually renewed. That's it. Being transformed. That's it. In true knowledge, in the image. Here it is again, being made in the image of Him who created the new self, who even created that new person that you are. He was created in Christ Jesus. I hope you've been blessed by this lesson. I know I have. I have enjoyed these last several weeks on teaching, and I thank God for using us. Glory to God. And helping us to bring forth what was in the lesson for our benefit. Amen. Are you blessed today? If you are, wherever you are today, just tell the Lord thank you. Amen. Whether you're listening to this at a later date or even right now, just open up your mouth and tell the Lord thank you for the blessing of His word. Father, we thank you for what took place today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord God, that you help us to check out thinking, and that you will help us, Lord God, to know that we are transformed in you. We are renewed in you, starting with our minds and our hearts, starting with our letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide us in the things that we need to do. Father, we ask that you will hold us close, and that you would keep us, dear Lord, and help us to be the people that you've called for in these days. Help us, Lord God. We need your help, and we know we can do all things through Christ, who gives us the strength to do those things. So now bless your word. Bless your people is our prayer in Jesus' name. Help us, Father, to stand firm in the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. We pray again that you are blessed.